listeners. Welcome to the Beyond Writing Podcast, brought to you by Bright Little Light Press. I'm your host, Dakari Carey, and today we're going to talk about publishing formats, rights, and royalties. This is a bit more of a business-minded topic, and if you're not into the business side of publishing, A, what are you doing listening to this podcast? But B, this one might be even a little bit dry for your tastes. So maybe you want to skip ahead to the next podcast or listen to one of the older podcasts if you're more of a general listener. If you really want to know about the business side, we're going to talk today about the different types of formats that a traditional publisher is likely to want to publish your work in, the types of formats that may be most relevant to you if you are self-publishing, what sort of royalties you might expect from different formats, and general notes about navigating the contract when it comes to looking at the formats for publishing and the terms of the contract. Today's podcast has come from a question about types of publication deals and how publication deals have started to shift toward favoring specific formats. So the question was, some deals have been announced that are format-centric, for example, ebook rights only. Have you seen those be successful for all parties? What do you foresee? More, the same, or fewer of these types of deals? So we're going to talk a bit about publishing formats in general, and then toward the end I'll get to answering this specific question. But there's some underlying knowledge you need to know in order to understand the answer better. So as a self-publisher, the types of formats you're most likely to be concerned about are the ebook format, maybe a print book format, and maybe audiobook. So for most self-publishers, the ebook format is the bread and butter of your career, and there are a lot of self-publishers who never go beyond ebooks. Publishing in a print format can have substantial costs associated with it in terms of developing the layout for the print format, doing a print cover, which is separate from an ebook cover, although it can be by the same artist and often incorporates the same art on the front of the cover, having a separate ISBN for your print cover, actual production costs of producing print books, costs for shipping and warehousing and getting those books into a retailer, if you as a self-publisher can even get them into a retailer. So to get around some of these costs, some self-publishers use print-on-demand services, which are abbreviated POD, and these services may include CreateSpace, Ingram Micro. Amazon is working on developing its own in-house print. CreateSpace has been an Amazon partner, but Amazon's working on KDP print through their Kindle Direct publishing program. So there are a number of print-on-demand options that can give you a print book format without having the additional cost associated with doing a print run, storing them, warehousing them, all that stuff. The upside of offering a print format as a self-publisher is that you may capture additional sales for people who just don't want to buy ebooks or don't have an ebook reader or just prefer print. It also makes it look like the book is a little more legitimate. It's really easy to throw a self-published book up onto Amazon or iTunes, and people are sort of getting inundated with low-quality work. So people may take the print format as a sign of validation that this work is a slightly higher quality. Again, the people who think that probably don't know how easy it is to use a print-on-demand publisher to do print books for even a self-publisher. But this is one way that you as a self-published author can leverage print without having to pay the expenses associated with print. The print margins are way less than ebooks, so that's a downside. If you start selling a lot of ebook copies, and then some of those ebook sales turn into print sales instead, you're going to get less money from those print sales on the average of maybe 10 cents to a dollar or two on a print sale, depending on the price of your book and the production cost. Whereas the ebook sale would likely net you anywhere from, I don't know, 30 cents to about $3.80, depending on the price of your ebook. That's if your ebook is priced up to $5. If you price your ebook higher than that, you are kind of crazy. Audiobook is a format that is growing in popularity, and that's really where a lot of focus should be nowadays on growing business for publishers, traditional and self-published alike. Audio as a format has been popularized by Audible, which is an Amazon company, and you can reach a wider audience if you have an audiobook version. There are some special incentives that Amazon will offer if you offer your ebook in audiobook as well and or in print format. Amazon gives like incentives for people buying multiple formats. You may lose some of the cost, but you may be more widely distributed by Amazon organically as a result. They want to feature these books, so that they can get more people to buy more formats and make the overall Amazon company more successful. As a self-published author, the production costs associated with audiobooks can be pretty high. There are two ways people generally pay for audiobook production costs, and that is either paying as a work for hire, hiring a voice actor to do the acting and or to do the production as well, if the voice actor has their own studio, whether it's in-home or a studio they work with regularly. Alternately, you can do a royalty share, which means you don't pay any money up front to the voice actor, but then you and the voice actor split the proceeds down the road. There are pros and cons of each of these things. Doing a work for hire and getting the voice actor to give you all the rights means you're never going to have to share your royalties, but you have to pay more up front. And the cost for a good voice actor and the production studio or the production costs can range up to about $450 an hour. So if your book is in the neighborhood of 200 pages, your output in an audio format is likely to be around 6 to 7 hours. So for voice actors at the higher end of that range, your production costs can easily range from $3,000 to $4,000 upfront. If you hire a more affordable voice actor in the neighborhood of $200 per hour, you obviously cut those costs dramatically, but the finished product may not be as good, and that could negatively impact your reputation as an author and or a publisher if you're publishing under your own publishing imprint, and it could reduce the sales of that audiobook if it's a poorly produced audiobook or if the author isn't a good match for the, if the narrator isn't a good match for the content or just a very good dramatic voice actor, then you may lose out on potential audio sales, and it sort of negates the benefit of having that extra format. If you do a royalty share, you can cut those costs out entirely up front. You don't pay the voice actor any money for producing the audiobook. The downside is, if your audiobook does well, you could pay dramatically more over the life of the audiobook because you're having to pay the voice actor half of your profits on that format. So you could take each with a grain of salt. There's also a belief that the voice actors who will do royalty shares are not as good as the voice actors who are doing straight work for hires. That may or may not be true. I think it's probably some of each. I think there are probably some good voice actors who would do royalty shares if the content is really good, or if you can show them a track record of selling well with your other audiobook formats or even your print formats, it may lend itself well to an audio format. On the flip side, there are poor pay-for-hire voice actors as well. So there's a whole process to auditioning voice actors. We'll maybe go into that in another podcast, but it's something to keep in mind if you're thinking about having an audiobook format. So these are the formats that you are most likely to use as a self-publisher. The things to take away from this are that ebooks have great margins, they have a low cost of production, and they're a very easy entry point for self-publishers. Print books have poor margins. The costs of production can be a little higher because even if you're doing a print on demand, you still need to have an interior layout done, which you probably ought to pay someone to do, and you're going to need to pay for a print cover as well. However, it can be a good way to expand your audience base because then you have people who are only buying print who will buy your book. You can also get print books to send out to people, to your advanced reader team or book reviewers, in order to get reviews on your books and give extra social proof and really help your book's reputation, which can help with sales down the road. Audiobook also has great margins, so it's similar to ebook in that. And the actual cost of purchasing an audiobook is high, which means the margin on an audiobook nets you more money in the end after your cut. So it's a good way to extend your revenue base, but the production costs of audiobooks, if you're paying as a work for hire, are higher than any of the other formats as a self-published author. So audiobooks can be a great way to extend your book revenue, but maybe not a great expense early in your career. So if you're going to do a deal with a traditional publisher, the formats are going to break down a little differently. A, there's going to be a contract with the publisher, and the publisher will spell out in the contract which formats they are buying the rights to and what your royalties will be in each of those formats. This is something where a thing like an audiobook can get a little bit muddy, and we'll tell you why in just a minute. So the common formats you're going to encounter in a contract with a traditional publisher are ebook, paperback, hardcover, audiobook. And it's common for paperback to be split up into trade paperback and mass market paperback if a publisher anticipates publishing in both formats. The reason these are broken out separately is because you as an author will get different royalties depending on which format you're talking about. And in some of these, the royalties that you get may also vary depending on the volume of the books sold in each of those formats. So for example, ebooks come with the highest margin, and that also translates to the highest royalty for you as an author. So the ebook royalty is likely to be anywhere from 20 to 50% of the net proceeds. So this means after the publisher has sold the book, their cut, you would get 20 to 50% of that. A hardcover royalty is likely to range from 10 to 15%. And the hardcover probably will have an incremental royalty. So the first 10,000 hardcovers may only get you 10%. Then from 10,000 to 15,000, you may get 12.5%. Then after 15,000, you would get 15%. It's a common way to break it down, but the actual specific numbers will vary depending on what the publisher thinks your book is going to do and the publisher that you choose to publish with. By the way, hardcover is something that you probably won't encounter as a new author. It's sort of falling out of fashion, and it's more of a status or prestige format for publishing in. So if you are publishing something like a academic book or a nonfiction or something with a target audience that is going to pay for a hardcover book, or for where the status of a hardcover copy will matter, then you may have a hardcover format in your contract. But for an average author, if you're just selling regular fiction, if you're not projected to be a bestseller, especially if you're a midlist author, a publisher probably won't bother with hardcover at all and will go straight to paperback. Hardcover has a higher production cost associated with it, but it's also got good margins. The downside is it's not going to sell as many copies because it's an expensive entry point. So this is why publishers will often do a hardcover run at the beginning of a book's life cycle, when a book is new and people who don't want to wait for the paperback to come will actually pay the premium to get the hardcover. Then they have the status hardcover. Anywhere from weeks to months after the hardcover is released, usually 2 to 3 months, then a paperback version of it will come out, and people who couldn't buy the hardcover or didn't care enough to buy it in the hardcover will then go buy the paperback version. A mass market paperback is likely to earn anywhere from 6 to 10%. And mass market, if you remember from one of the previous podcast episodes, is the format that you're going to find when you're in a supermarket or a Walmart. It is the sort of smaller footprint, but has more pages. The pages are lower quality, and it's more cheap to produce. So it's the type of thing you're going to encounter like on a supermarket bookshelf. A trade paperback usually has a larger size, and the paper quality is usually a little bit better. It's the type of thing you're likely to encounter in a bookstore. You will still get mass market in a bookstore, but trade paperback is the slightly more prestigious of the options. The trade paperback royalty is also likely to be 6 to 10%, but the gradations where you go up in percentage may be different for trade paperback because trade paperback has a higher production cost and may have a lower margin. They also sell for more, so it really depends on the account that the publisher is selling into, what their terms are with that account. There's sort of a lot of complicated math that goes on that you as an author have nothing to do with around the paperback formats. So you'll note that when I've listed out these formats, I did not mention audiobook. Historically, audiobook has been a subsidiary right that has fallen under all the umbrella of all these additional rights that publishers have access to that they may or may not choose to exercise. So it used to be very common for subsidiary rights to include things like first serial, second serial, reprints, foreign, translation, motion picture, TV, dramatic, audio cassette, electronic, multimedia, commercial, and merchandising. And there may or may not be a separate subsidiary right covering recording and reproduction. So if there is a separate subsidiary right regarding recording and reproduction, audio may fall under that. If there's not, if there's just this umbrella subsidiary, it may fall under that. You'll note I said audio cassette. This is sort of an antiquated term sheet for a book contract, but traditional publishers have sort of dragged their heels into these new formats. So that's why audiobook is not listed out separately. More publishers are beginning to recognize the value of the audiobook format and may start listing it out in their terms separately. Other publishers may still leave it under the subsidiary rights, so you, as an author, are going to have to look into your contract and see where the audiobook format falls and whether or not the publisher intends to exercise it, what your royalties will be, etc., etc. So things you should think about if you're going to go with a traditional publisher are what formats a publisher wants to publish your work in and when they're planning to do that. It is not uncommon for publishers to try to lock down as many formats as possible and just wait and see how your book does. So generally, a publisher will want to release ebooks and paper like immediately, simultaneously as part of the book launch, and may or may not release subsidiary formats such as audio, television, motion picture. And by the way, subsidiary is usually something that is not handled directly by the publisher. It's usually something that's bought by a third party who will go and make work based on this. Audiobook, again, is one of those weird things because a lot of publishers are not set up to do audiobooks in-house, or they're just starting to get in the last few years set up to do audiobooks in-house. They may sell the rights out to somebody else to do them. So this is something where there's not well-established procedures around it when it comes to a traditional publisher. So things you need to be aware of if you're going to go with a traditional publisher are which formats a publisher wants to have rights to, and whether or not they intend to exercise those rights. So for you as an author, it's beneficial to have as many rights as possible exercised, because the more formats your work appears in, the more sales you can capture. But for a publisher, it only makes sense to exercise these additional formats if they think they're going to get more money for them. Again, keep in mind, publishers are there to make money. They're a business. They're not really there to be your friend or to distribute your work, to get you readers, beyond whatever it takes to just get their books to sell. So the things a publisher will think about when they're trying to decide which formats to publish your book in are the margins they're going to get for these different formats, the audience that they project for these different formats, what they can expect the sales to be in each format, and whether or not they're established with outlets for each format. So the margins are going to be a major driving factor in which formats a publisher wants to release your work in. Obviously, the better the margin, the better it is for the publisher, and the better it is for you as the author, because you're going to make more money off of those high-margin formats as well, too. The audience for different formats matters. So when I said a few minutes ago that hardcover is more of a prestige format, and different types of books may lend themselves well still to hardcovers, like academic works, things like that, if there is not going to be an audience for the format, the publisher is not going to bother producing the format. So if you're just writing a general fiction book, maybe a romance or fantasy science fiction, a publisher may decide there's just not an audience for a hardcover format, and that's why they're not going to bother producing it in hardcover. In order to justify the cost of producing in a different format, a publisher is going to want to do a sales analysis and to be able to project how many sales they think they're going to get out of that format. So a publisher is not going to publish you in a hardcover format if they don't think they're going to get a minimum of 10,000 sales. They probably want more than that. Same goes for audiobook and other things that have costs associated with it. Ebook is an interesting thing because, as I said, the cost of entry of an ebook is really low. If you're going with a traditional publisher, their cost of entry is likely to be slightly higher than yours because they're still going to get a professional cover designed, hire an editor to do the editing, then they're going to have a second editor to do copy editing and or proofreading. They're still going to do a layout for ebook. It's just going to be a different sort of layout. So they do still have some of those initial production costs that are the same as in print, but the costs are still significantly lower than actually doing a print run, warehousing it, paying for freight. All of those additional costs are not there. So this is why you may start seeing more and more publishers doing ebook-only deals, because they don't want to pay to do those other formats if they're not going to get enough sales in them, or if the type of book just doesn't lend itself well to that format. So you're going to see, for example, romance. A lot more romance novels are going to be in ebook-only. You've already seen this when it comes to self-published authors, and you're going to start seeing it more with publication houses too, traditional publishing, because ebooks have a substantially higher margin, and romance readers have kind of a voracious appetite. So it's not uncommon for romance readers to buy romance novels in paperback form from used places, and publishers don't make money on those used book sales. They only make money the first time a book is sold. So the publisher is not making as much money on those print sales. There just aren't as many sales. And as we as a society move more toward ebooks in general, print sales are going to continue to decline. I do think we're going to see a lot more ebook-only format deals. Another reason why a publisher might only make a deal for a certain format, if the publisher doesn't think the other formats are going to sell well or justify it, they're not going to want to pay you extra money to acquire the rights to those formats. You as an author, in theory, you have a right to more money if the publisher wants to demand access to more formats. That's one thing you can do when you're negotiating, actually. So you might get a lower advance when it comes to a publisher who only wants to publish an ebook, whereas the advance for a publisher that also wants to do print copies and other things is likely to be higher, because that publisher is taking away your right to do those formats on your own and agreeing to do it themselves. In return, they're going to pay you more money. It's really important that you, as an author, think about what formats your publisher wants to publish in and what formats your publisher wants the rights to. This is because a publisher, as I said earlier, is going to want rights to as many formats as possible, just as a general rule. A publisher may sit around and do nothing with all of those additional formats. They may just sit there and do an ebook and or a print book and see how the book sales go. Then if your book sales hit a certain threshold, or when you start to build a following, maybe two or three books into your career, they may go back and exercise some of those other format rights. For you as an author, if you're getting into a contract with a publisher, you really ought to ask the publisher what their strategy is when it comes to these formats. Find out what their launch strategy is. What are they planning to launch all of the formats at once? Are they planning to stagger the launches? Get an answer from them. If they don't have a good launch strategy around the multiple format, they probably aren't going to release your work in all the formats. They're probably just going to sit on them and wait and see how your book does. This matters to you as an author because while the publisher owns the rights to these other formats, you can't do anything with them. So if you wanted to produce an audiobook on your own, the publisher owns the right to do that. You can't do it. So it's really important to be explicit in your contract with your publisher about what rights the publisher has and what you as an author can do. On the flip side of that, you as an author are not likely to have the most clout when it comes to negotiating the rights. A lot of publishers have standard rights that they demand from their authors, and they just aren't going to budge from that. Unless you have some sort of spectacular book, they may pass on you if you express concerns about giving them access to certain rights. So when you're thinking about rights and how you want to control them versus letting the publisher control them, keep that in mind. If you are adamant about controlling certain rights or making a publisher exercise those rights on a timetable, then that may cost you the publishing deal. Maybe that's okay, maybe it's not. That's something that you have to decide. It's hard for an unpublished author to do that because you don't have the data around what sort of sales you're likely to expect in each format. So you can't say, I think this book would sell really well in audiobooks, so I really want to fight this fight. You really don't know unless you happen to be an expert on audiobooks, which most people probably aren't. So it can be difficult to make an informed decision. So this is when it's really helpful to have a good agent who can guide you. If you don't have a good agent, try to find a lawyer who's familiar with publishing and just see if you can get some information from them around whether or not giving away these rights, access to the rights, is a good decision for you. I can't make a blanket statement for you because it really depends on the individual work, what your objectives are as an author, what sort of advance the publisher is offering you, what the publisher's marketing plans are, what sort of sales they're likely to get. So me as a publisher, I can't give you that information. It is entirely dependent on your situation and your individual agreement with your publisher. One thing you should keep in mind, though, if you accept one of these boilerplate deals with a publisher, make sure your rights are going to revert to you after a certain amount of time. What this means is that at some point, if your agreement with the publisher terminates, then all of the rights to all of these formats would revert to you. Some unscrupulous publishers may attempt to keep those rights even upon the termination of a contract. This means that if a publisher doesn't do their duty by you, they could still control the rights to your books. You would never have the option of printing them yourself, taking them to another publisher. It just, you wouldn't own it anymore. So this is something you really need to be aware of. An example of when this might matter. If your publisher lets your book go out of print, your contract probably includes a period of time in which you can notify the publisher in writing that you want them to make a new print run. Your publisher will then have X amount of time to respond to that. In one example contract I was just reviewing, it was 90 days. So you submit in writing a request to your publisher to have a reprint done, and the publisher has 90 days to tell you, yes, we're going to do that, or no, we're not going to do that. If a publisher is not going to do that in this particular contract, that would void the contract. The contract was only valid as long as the publisher was maintaining an active print title. The publisher could, however, respond, yes, we'll do that, but it's going to take us up to a year to get this print copy published. So for you as an author, your book may be out of print for a year and a half before the publisher gets around to reprinting it. If the publisher doesn't reprint it within that period of time or doesn't get back to you, then the rights would revert to you. Again, this is just an example contract, but this is why it matters, because for you as an author, to have your book go out of print for a year and a half can be a major, major impact on your career, especially if you're publishing multiple books in a series. So within that year and a half, you may have published another book. So you may have future book sales driving fans back to these earlier books that are now no longer in print. Those are sales that you're not going to be able to capture. By the time a publisher gets around to printing your book again a year and a half down the road, those people are gone. Who knows if they're even still aware of you as an author, and they're certainly not in a place where they wanted to buy your book again. So you're going to have to spend time and effort to recapture those readers, those lost sales. There may also be cases where small indie publishers or small self-publishers don't have the bandwidth or the time frame to publish as many books as they want to. So you may get into an agreement with one of these publishers, and it may take them too long to get around to publishing your book. There are some authors who I have spoken with recently who have entered into agreements with publishers. Months have gone by. The publisher's not responding about a launch date or even editing the books. So these authors are sort of hanging out in limbo, not knowing when their book is going to get published, where their book is in the publication lifecycle. They basically have signed an agreement and now no longer own access to that content. It's a really crappy situation when that happens. You really want a publisher who's going to respond to you and give you information and keep you in the loop. You want to know where you are as an author. So these authors who have gotten themselves into these situations want to know, how long do they have to wait until they can pull their book and go somewhere else? The answer is, it depends on the contract. You really have to be aware of the contract. For some of these authors, they may be able to return the advance they've gotten and take their book to a different publisher, but then you have to go find a new publisher who wants to buy your book, and there may be penalties for getting out of the contract. In other cases, if the publisher has a certain amount of time frame in their contract in which to publish the book, or at least to respond to the author about a plan, and the publisher fails to do that, then the publisher may be in breach of contract. In that case, you may be able to keep the advance and go ahead and shop around your book to other people. But these are two very different scenarios that leave the author with different options. So it's really important to get a good contract, to know what you're getting into, ideally to get into an agreement with a publisher who's got a good reputation, and to make informed decisions for you as an author in your career. So the reason I've gone on this sidetrack about time-bound offers and the going out of print and making sure the rights revert, you could do this with other options. So say a publisher wants to have access to all of these formats, but they don't intend to publish right away. If you're concerned about that, you can always say to the publisher, all right, I'll give you these rights, but if you don't exercise them within X amount of time, say a year, 2 years, 3 years, those rights revert to me. The publisher may not give you the rights back immediately, but they may agree to revert over time if they don't exercise them. Alternately, if you've got a specific plan, say you know that your book is going to do well in audiobook and the publisher doesn't want or intend to pursue that option right away, you could say to the publisher, look, I really want to keep the rights to do an audiobook and I intend to do this myself and produce it in this time frame. Some publishers may let you do that. You're more likely to get that option with a small indie publisher. Or if you feel really passionate about it and you have good data around what sort of sales you can expect, a publisher may be swayed by your passion and decide to go ahead and produce the work in that format. That's less likely to happen. Usually publishers have a pretty good vision of how they want to produce and market books, but it is a possibility and it's something that you may want to think about. So now you understand a little more about publishers and the rights they're going to want when they get into a contract with you, and whether or not they're going to exercise those rights, and why that matters to you as an author. By the way, that matters to you as an author because you want to make money. You want them to exercise as many formats as possible so that you can extend your sales across multiple formats. It's sort of a no-brainer. So going back to the original question that was the basis for the podcast, some deals have been announced that are format-centric. For example, ebook rights only. Have you seen those to be successful for all parties? What do you foresee? More, the same, or fewer? In the example of an ebook-only deal, I think those are very successful for all parties. Ebooks have the highest margin out of all of the formats, although the margin on audiobooks isn't far behind and usually result in more net sales, but audiobooks also have a much smaller potential audience. These formats make more money for the publisher, and they also make more money for the author. In that, they are a win-win. They also result in fewer production costs for the publisher. So the publisher will net more money on ebook sales than they will on print sales. This means the publisher has more money to operate on. It also means the publisher has more money that they can use as offering advances to new authors or producing other ebooks. So if we see publishers moving more toward an ebook-centric production schedule, then we're likely to see more books coming out. Ebooks are faster to produce, they cost less, there's less overhead involved in producing them, and they're going to net the publisher more money. So publishers have more money to publish the next book in the cycle. They have more time in the publication schedule because it doesn't take as long to produce an ebook. And generally speaking, I think it's a win-win. At this moment in time, print copies are still a non-trivial part of the book life cycle. Especially for traditional publishers, they still are selling a number of prints in traditional bookstores, and also mass markets are still doing fairly well in places like supermarkets and Walmarts. It is a very different landscape than it was 10 to 20 years ago, but the sales are still not inconsequential. So I think at today, most publishers are probably not ready to get rid of print book sales entirely. And that suits some readers fine because some readers just don't like ebook readers. Some e-readers still prefer to have print books. I think maybe 10, 20 years down the road, print sales will be a much smaller percentage. I don't think they'll ever go away entirely. Things like academic texts and certain nonfiction works are likely to continue to be produced in print form. They are easier to consume in print and they net a higher margin than other types of print books, so I think there will continue to be a place for those types of books in a print format. Things like cookbooks, reference books, when you try to use them on paper versus using them on an ebook reader, it's just easier to use them on paper. Those things are likely to still linger in print format. I think as the audiobook becomes more popular, it's a format that is easy for people to consume when they're busy. They can be walking down the street, commuting in the car, doing dishes, cooking dinner, and be listening to a book. That's becoming a really popular way to consume content. I think that we will see audiobooks figuring more heavily into book contracts, and I think we're going to see audiobooks exploding as an audience for authors. So you may see more audiobook-only deals, although I doubt that. I think it's going to be a long time before we are audiobook-only. I think you're likely to see a lot of deals that are audiobook and ebook with no print component, and as we move away from print more and into electronic more, I think that's just going to continue to grow. Is there a downside for a publisher or for an author to enter into a format-specific deal? Hard to say. It really depends on what the opportunities are in other formats that are not presented. If you've been listening to earlier episodes of this podcast, you've heard me talk some about print and about the publishers breaking down the costs of producing and selling a book. That is going to continue to factor heavily into the book purchasing life cycle. If we can shift more toward ebook-only formats, that math changes a lot. It favors authors and it favors publishers. But at this moment in time, as I said before, there's still a place for print books. So I do think that authors and publishers are missing out on some sales if they go with an ebook-only format. The question is whether or not missing out on those sales is going to miss out on potential revenue. That's harder to say because the production costs are so much higher with print. You really have to sell a lot more of them to make any revenue on them. Otherwise, you're just spending money on something that's not going to make a return for you. So it's harder to say, unless you're inside one of those deals, whether or not it's a bad deal for an author or publisher to do only ebook and to cut out the print rights. Another factor that's going to go into this is who the publisher is. So the big five publishers have these deep relationships with print distributors. Smaller indie publishers don't have the same relationships. So Bright Little Light Press, for example, we have very few print distribution relationships. And we do print runs on our books for a variety of reasons, which maybe we'll talk about on another podcast. but the revenue we get from print books is nothing like what the revenue a Big Five publisher is going to get. So you as an author, if you're going with a small publisher, you're more likely to encounter an ebook-only deal because a small publisher may not have the print distribution network that a big publisher has. It's not going to produce as much revenue for them, and the costs are going to be fixed and probably even higher than a Big Five publisher because the print volume for a small publisher is likely to be much lower. So it's not an easy question to answer. There are a lot of factors that go into it. For you as an author, the things you should be thinking about when it comes to format are what the likely distribution is in that format, so how many sales the publisher expects, what your royalties are in that format, whether or not the publisher intends to exercise those rights. If the publisher does not intend to exercise the rights, that means you can't make money on those formats. Whether or not the rights will revert to you if the publisher doesn't exercise them or if the publisher goes out of business. Another thing you should be aware of is whether or not the publisher has the right to sell those rights to other people. In a lot of cases, a publisher does have the right to transfer various rights, especially subsidiary rights. It's part of how publishers function. One thing to keep in mind, though, you can require in your contract that the publisher only distribute those rights to a reputable source. So a publisher wouldn't just sell the rights to a random Joe Schmo off the street who wants to buy them. It should be a reputable production house or whatever is applicable to the type of right that is being sold. If it's a foreign right, it should be sold to a foreign publisher with reputable translators, not just to some person who wants to buy the rights. And this is all to protect you as an author and to make sure your work is distributed as widely as possible, that you get paid for the work, and that you have the opportunity to make back more money. If you're self-publishing, the formats you want to think about are ebook, possibly print, and audiobook. If you're doing print, you have to decide whether or not to do mass market or trade paperback. I recommend don't even bother with hardcover. As a self-published author, you definitely don't want to bear that expense. Unless maybe you're producing a high-end cookbook or a high-end coffee table book, but the production costs on those are so high you probably don't want to touch it. If you're going with a small publisher, the options they want to exercise may be different than a big publisher, so keep that in mind. And the royalties that you get may be different with a small publisher than with a big publisher. The volumes that you have to sell to qualify for different royalty tiers may be different with a smaller publisher than a big publisher. So these are all things that you should keep in mind. Also, when you're working with a small publisher, make sure a small publisher is reputable. You do not want to go with a small publisher that is just starting out and has no clue how to run a business and is not going to print your books, is not going to pay you properly, is not going to get your books into additional formats. There's a lot of things small publishers can do wrong that you want to be wary of. So if you do go with a small publisher, it can be great for your career in some ways, but you need to make sure it is a reputable small publisher. And we'll talk more in another podcast about how to select a publisher. We're sort of dropping these little hints in along the way as they relate to the topics we're covering, but if you're ever going to sell your work to a publisher, this is something you really need to know more about. We'll cover that in more depth at some point. So if you sat through all this, good for you! You are now much better equipped to think about some of the business aspects of selling your book. Sorry, this was a little bit more boring. When it comes to things like this, the business side, you really have to be more right-brained, and it is valuable as an author to understand the business side, but most of us want to do something more creative. So, sorry this wasn't as creative as last week's episode. Hope you found it helpful, and as always, if you have any questions that you'd like to hear us talk about, or things you want to know, hit us up on Twitter at BLLPress, or Facebook at BLLPress, or through our website at brightlittlelight.press. Real quick, before I sign off, this is one of the most awesome things about being an indie, and one of the reasons I decided to start an indie publisher. We're not some big, giant corporation. We're people. We're a small company with just people. And on a personal note, I wanted to give a shout-out. As I am editing this podcast, it is Friday, May 12th, and it's my sister's birthday. She's been having kind of a tough time lately, and I really wanted to do something special for her to wish her a happy birthday. So, hey sis, happy birthday, love you, you're an awesome mom, I hope you're having a great day, and next year will definitely be better. Thanks for bearing with me, listeners, and as always, we'll talk to you next week. Bye!